As we are nearing Memorial Day and next month, Memorial Month, we want to give special recognition in this day for a patriot who fell near me in 1969 on November 11, 1969, Michael Patrick McQueer. He was a hero from Michigan, from Traverse City, who saved 100 soldiers' lives in Vietnam on his very first day. Yes, I can never forget how I first met Michael McQueer on his first day in Vietnam as he joined the 5th Infantry Division. He had been living a happy life with his extended family since birth in his home community of Traverse City, Michigan. At 18, he volunteered to serve in the Army to help win the Vietnam War against communism. And obviously his life was changed dramatically forever. Now, Delta Company was positioned near the DMZ in Vietnam, as far north as what you can go north in South Vietnam. 2 miles in the distance, we could all see the huge red communist flags waving, marking North Vietnam's southern border, armed with 5,000 border guards, the 27th NVA Regiment. We, with our 100 soldiers in Delta Company, were encamped on Mutter's Ridge, the famous rocky mountain ridge in I Corps that stretches along the DMZ. And in that hostile area was where more bombs, more bullets, more artillery, more grenades, more claymores, more gunpowder was fired. And it was where more American soldiers died in combat in this small area than in any other place in Vietnam. And there I was with Delta Company, and I remember like yesterday when Michael came into our company on a resupply helicopter near the end of a day in combat. And yes, his appearance made a dramatic impression upon all of us, because for a brief moment, we could picture in him the typical American youth, the ideal American youth, that the ideal America that we dreamed of one day being able to return to, that glorious America that he had just departed from only hours ago. Yes, as I said, our company, Delta Company, had fought communists already for 70 days in the mud and in the jungle and brutal, no holds barred, deadly combat. Yes, Delta Company had fought the elements of the 27th NVA Regiment without a break, without a hot meal, without a shower, without a shave, without a change of clothes, without relief for 70 days already. Day and night we endured unspeakable hardship, sleepless nights, hordes of mosquitoes, without most of the elementary comforts of life. And yes, Delta Company was exhausted, out of food, out of ammunition, short of men, and frightened of the huge battle that appeared to be shaping up and eventually would shape up in front of us. Yes, Michael McQueer came squeezed in, boxed in with our company resupplies of C rations, bullets, bombs, grenades, claymores, and everything we needed to fight for another week. Yes, the Huey helicopter came in fast and hot, spending a minimal time of seconds on the ground, for it was a touch-and-go maneuver, allowing just enough time to throw all the resupplies off. For Army intelligence routinely informed us that there were 5,000 enemy communist soldiers all around us armed with huge weapons, hidden in the terrain near us, all around us. Dedicated communists who very much wanted each one of us Americans who had invaded their country dead. Dead not only for the $1,000 bonus that their communist government gave them for each American that they killed, but dead because they wanted them, us, to be out of their country. Yes, to shoot down a helicopter was the ultimate enemy prize. Now there we are, and I saw Michael leap out of that helicopter, the epitome of an all-American boy. And I must confess, it sent a shock to me. I can still remember seeing his face, even though it is now 55 years later. Yes, here was this young, handsome soldier, full of life, fresh from America, the picture of health and everything American. Yes, Michael was clean-cut, he was shaven, he was wearing a brand-new uniform, unstained, unmuddied. He had a short haircut, something radically different from us 100 men in Delta Company, who had come and become one with the jungle. Yes, barely above the animals in our daily battle to survive. Yes, Michael was muscular and handsome, proud to be a soldier, eager to contribute his fair share, determined to help Delta Company, determined to help the 5th Infantry Division, determined to help America fight communism and win this horrible, horrible war. Yes. It's not a hyperbole to say he was a sight for sore eyes. A fresh American, fresh meat, as we said. Yes, I must say my first impression was, oh, you poor kid. After all, I was already 19. He was only 18. I thought you just landed in the worst place in Vietnam, at the worst possible time, in the worst possible situation, in the worst possible scenario, as a new soldier, just as a major battle is forming up all around us. Oh, what most people do not know is that nearly 1,500 new soldiers were killed on their first day in Vietnam, and nearly 1,000 were killed in their last day in Vietnam. Yes, war is always brutal, and obviously there was no safe place in Vietnam at that time during that war, but inexperience was the most deadly factor, which so often contributed to so many deaths in combat. No war allows no mistakes, and the Vietnam War was no exception. And no, it wasn't just me that was shocked to see Michael jumping out of that helicopter. All 100 of us in D Company must have stopped in brief shock as we're digging our foxholes for the next night. For they had not seen, none of us had seen a normal human being coming from the world, coming from America, for such a long, long time. And the strange sight of such a fresh, young, clean-cut, normal human being was something the company hadn't experienced, hadn't expected. And every one of our 100 men briefly must have thought the same thing as I thought. Wow, a fresh new kid with a clean uniform even. I hope this young kid makes it. Before we immediately went back to work digging our foxholes and building up our defensive perimeter for that night, yes, we watched out for each other, but Michael himself must have also been shocked as he looked around in wonder and amazement at his strange, strange new home. For he saw 100 pathetic, war-torn, war-weary soldiers, muddy, bloody, sick, exhausted soldiers. Our uniforms were ripped, torn, rotting off our back, as we had not had a chance to change them for 70 straight days. Yes, Delta Company bore all the battle scars, all the effects, and all the wear and tear of fighting in the jungle, 70 days against a relentless enemy along the DMZ. In this unforgiving, mountainous jungle, without a break. Oh, Michael must have been shocked and thought, what kind of a group, what kind of a situation did I just join up with? These soldiers look more like animals than men. And Michael was probably right, for often infantry men fighting daily for survival do seem to become like animals, because we are fighting against all the elements, fighting against the ever-present enemy, fighting for our beloved lives, fighting for our beloved country, and most of all, fighting for our loved ones that we left back home in America. But now night was coming fast, and we had to quickly dig in to get ready for any enemy assault that could be expected in that night. For we, the 5th Infantry Division, Delta Company, was indeed encamped in very, very bad country, as we said, enemies all around us, 5,000 of them by the military intelligence count. But now it was decided by us men that, being as Michael was the newest soldier, fresh from America, that we would place him and have him dig his foxhole in a position in the safest place in all the perimeter. Yes, everyone remembered their first night in combat in Vietnam, where each of us, full of fear, fearing the worst, imagining the worst, was convinced as they looked through the night that they saw the enemy creeping up on them. Yes, to celebrate your first night in Vietnam was survival as an infantryman. For now you only had 364 more days and nights to go. Yes, every morning as an infantryman was a victory, and every day we religiously count it off on our short time calendars. So Michael's foxhole was placed near a thick thicket, where it would be the most difficult for the enemy to come through. All of our foxholes were dug, all of our guns were placed on the foxhole perimeter, ready to fire. All of our defenses was as good as what we could get. As night fell, we all tried to welcome Michael into Delta Company with our C-ration supper, a quick hello, a friendly pat, a kind word. But Michael's fears must have been incredibly great. Being in a strange country, being in the military, being set to kill other human beings, and being shot at by enemy human beings. Oh, that always does create fear for every soldier. Yes, combat is the ultimate hunting game, where humans are hunting humans. It's not like shooting a deer, shooting a bear, or shooting a rabbit. These are real human, living human beings with a precious soul. Oh, there can be no comparison to hunting. To this day, 55 years later, I have never fired a gun. I have never went hunting. When you have done the ultimate of hunting human beings and being hunted by human beings, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. But now it was quiet. We had to listen. Night was settling in fast with its ominous forbearing. As everyone was listening for danger, listening for the enemy to creep up upon us. But we took some comfort that Michael was next to this thick thicket in the safest place. But now, after a few hours of quiet, Michael came crawling up to the center, to the lieutenant, and said in a controlled whisper, "I got movement in front of me. I got movement of men coming at me. I can hear them coming." Oh, all of us 100 men heard this, and we smiled to ourselves, thinking, "Sure, Michael, you got movement in front of you. We put you in the safest place in our perimeter. Anyone coming through that thicket would make a ton of noise. But this is your first night. Who doesn't imagine the enemy creeping up on you in their first night?" Oh, the leader, the lieutenant, patted him on the back to calm his nerves. And he gently reassured him, "Go back to your position and listen more closely." And he said gently, "Michael, everyone imagines they have enemy soldiers coming at them on their first night in Vietnam. Go back and listen, and come back if you hear any more noise." Oh, Michael was humbled to the ground, and he crawled back to his foxhole. But 20 minutes later, he crawls back again and says more loudly, more urgently, "I got movement of men in front of me. I'm telling you." But the lieutenant laughed and sent him back again. But 5 minutes later, Michael is back again, nearly hysterical with fear. He said, I tell you there are enemy soldiers coming at my foxhole. I can hear them. I'm going to start shooting. Our lieutenant was now irritated and said sternly, Michael, I will crawl back with you with our new starlight scope and take a look where you're hearing this noise. But you have to calm down and not alarm everybody. You have to realize that every new soldier hears things. Hears the enemy creeping up on them in their first night. Now, a starlight scope was the newest invention of the army at that time, which could greatly magnify the light of the stars, so that looking through it like binoculars, you could see in the pitch dark, you could see pea-green shadows if there were soldiers approaching your position. It wasn't very clear, but it was distinct in its pea-green distinctness. Yes, the lieutenant crawled to Michael's foxhole and lifted up the starlight scope to take a look. Instantly he dropped it and shouted loudly to all 100 men, Fire! 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 Every one of us 100 men opened up with every weapon that we had into the dark night in front of us. And after we were almost out of bullets, finally, the captain calls for a ceasefire. And we spent the rest of the night on 100% alert. Constant artillery fire echoed around us as our spotters attempted to kill those retreating enemy soldiers. Yes, it was a very, very tense night with no sleep. And in the morning, at first light, we saw that we had killed 7 communist soldiers only a few feet in front of our guns, and they had dragged away many other bodies during the night. Yes, a force of communists had been hiding in the very thicket that we thought Michael would be the safest in, but an alert Michael McQueer had saved Delta Company that night from certain death, for these enemy soldiers had fooled all of us long Vietnam veterans, and they were already hidden in position in that thicket, waiting for the right time to attack us. Yes, Michael McQueer became a hero on his first night in Vietnam. 100 of us soldiers owe our lives to him, for by his diligent watchfulness, he had alerted our leaders and had saved our 100 men from certain death. Yes, unbeknownst to us, these communist soldiers were hiding inside that thicket where we had placed Michael's foxhole, thinking it to be safe. The enemy was waiting there, hiding there, waiting for the opportunity to execute their flower blossom strategy, where they would penetrate into the U.S. perimeter in one spot, get inside that circle of men, and trap the enemy from both inside and outside with explosives, with bullets, with RPGs. It was one of the deadliest military strategies, and it is usually and often successful. But because of Michael McQueer's alertness and his resolve, most of us 100 men of Delta Company did return to America at the end of their tour, including me. But Michael McQueer did not have long to be a hero. He would not return to America alive. 2 days later, we were encamped on Hill 162, which was supposed to be our last day in the field, where we were supposed to be helicoptered back to our base camp for a few days' rest. Yes, our leader said, all we have to do is move over to Hill 161, which was just 1/4 of a mile away. We thought that didn't sound too bad. Now, Michael Bylot was chosen to walk at the head of the column that day. We hesitated initially to put him into that vulnerable position as a point man, because the point man is such a vulnerable position. More point men were killed than anyone else in Vietnam. And because he was so new, we said, let's put somebody else at the front line. But he insisted that he was going to pull his load just as every other soldier in Delta Company. Yes, now it was November 11, 1969. It was 9 a.m. We were just finishing up with our C-ration breakfast, our little cup of coffee. We heated over some explosions. We were looking forward to going back to this rest at our home base camp at the end of this day, after 70 straight days in the field. After all, it was only 1/4 of a mile that we had to go. 1/4 a mile we had to travel. Yes, all 100 men were saddling up with all of their equipment and weapons. 60 to 80 pounds of them lined up in a single file through the jungle, heading for our destination on Hill 161. Michael McQueer walked by my foxhole, and I can still see his face that morning with the next person in line, who was Reuben. They didn't proceed 100 yards, and suddenly machine gun fire and AK fire, bullets raked our company and the head of the column. The communist enemy, the 27th MDA regiment, some of which we had contact with before during the night, had set up an ambush now again right up next to our perimeter, rightly judging that we were going to go to that destination, Hill 161. Yes, Michael McQueer was the point man on that fateful day at the head of this column. Reuben was the second person in that column. They were both killed instantly that day, and 3 others wounded. Yes, Delta Company had bumped into the front line of the 27th NVA Regiment that was forming up for another battle that we would be fighting 2 days later. But that's another story, another time. Yes, we fought all day long there on Hill 162, hitting the enemy with everything that we had, trying to dislodge them from Hill 161. Yes, planes dove in with bombs. Helicopter gunships rake the area. Grenades, machine gun fire was bombarding that entire area as we fought to defeat their attack and in the process to retrieve Michael and Reuben's body. Finally, toward the end of the day, we assaulted Hill 161 in a line and managed to drive back the enemy enough to bring Michael and Reuben's bullet-riddled bodies back. Yes, this was just one day of a vicious three-day battle that Michael and Reuben would not have to fight anymore. But as I said, that's another story for another day. This video is about my friends Michael McQueer and Reuben. Yes, 55 years later, as I am speaking this narrative, I can still feel the fear and still see the faces of Michael and Reuben as they walk past my foxhole, resolutely heading toward Hill 161, dreaming that soon we would be on the helicopters and go back to the base camp for a few days of rest, never imagining that this was their last hour, this was their last minute upon Earth. Yes, in a strange mix of borders, Reuben had actually walked in my place that fateful morning. Oh, in a way that I will have to explain another time. Yes, in the way of God's providence, Michael and Reuben would die instantly in that battle, in that firefight. But I would miraculously live because God had promised me out of Psalm 118, verse 17, thou shalt not die, but live and declare the works of God. And he performed 365 miracles that I would indeed not die. And here, 55 years later, I may pay tribute to Michael McQueer and to Reuben, great men, brave men, valiant men, who gave up all their tomorrows so that we can have today's. Oh, on this Veterans Month, remember the 1.3 million American soldiers that have died fighting to keep America free. Remember the 5 million American soldiers since the Revolutionary War that have fought and been wounded, striving to keep America free. Yes. Today's honor is not to those 1.3 million, but Michael McQueer, my friend, died on Hill 161. Reuben died with him. Michael McQueer, a Michigan hero from Traverse City. Oh, as I hope in my prayer that Traverse City might honor him in this Veterans Day and pay something of a tribute to him and to his family who have lived there most of their lives. Michael McQueer was born on 4/14/51. And he died November 11, 1969. He is buried at the Grand Traverse Memorial Gardens. His name is inscribed on the Vietnam Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C., in the location 16W/59. At our last 5th Infantry Division reunion, we dedicated and folded a American flag, which we hope to present to the McQueer family on this Memorial Day, May 27. Behind me, then, is that flag tribute to Michael McQueer. Take a minute and look what he served, what he earned. Michael McQueer.